Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, your weekly skip through the main TV shows of the week. I've stopped even claiming now it's about pop culture because really the core of the show is TV, isn't it? Should we admit this? Should we finally embrace this fact?
That is a bold thing you said and we haven't had a meeting about this. So
okay. I'm Boyd Hill. I'm joined by those two voices you can hear, Stephanie Seelan.
Howdy.
And Kay Ribeiro.
Yo.
This week, it's a drama special, we've decided to call it.
Okay.
We're looking at three new series of major television drama, including season two of the vast, huge, big blockbuster that is Westworld on Sky Atlantic and Now TV, starting next Sunday, the 22nd of April. Simulcasting, Kay, with the American...
So exciting.
The American premiere.
What, did you just say simulcast?
Simulcasting.
Simulcasting.
Is same time as American.
You know what a simulcast is?
Okay, I realise that's what it means, guys. Is that a word that is used... Yes. Is it?
Wait, you understand the concept that you didn't believe
it was
a word.
Yeah, but that's because I speak Kay and Boyd, not because... Okay, fine.
Put it this way, if you want to watch Westworld live, exactly the same time it goes out on American television, then you can tune at 2 a.m. our time on April the 23rd, that morning, on Sky Atlantic / Now TV, and you will see it live. We, of course, have had access to the first five episodes via the wonderful HBO preview system.
We're very lucky.
That is going to be reviewed. The Split is the brand new drama starting on BBC One next Tuesday from, I think we can call her, the excellent Abby Morgan, one of our prime TV writers of recent years.
Abs.
And it stars Nicola Walker, one of our prime TV actresses
of
recent
Nicola
years.
Walker. How I love thee.
Oh, say no more. All right. No spoilers. No. And finally, The Woman in White is the new adaptation of a very famous novel written by someone famous whose name I've forgotten, which was purported, some say, is the first psychological thriller novel, mystery novel ever.
Ever?
Yeah. Wilkie Collins. Wilkie Collins. Kay wrote it.
The Woman in White by Wilkie Collins.
Yeah. And this adaptation stars former EastEnder Ben Hardy of X-Men, whatever it was, fame.
He has done so well.
Done very well.
He's come a long way from being Peter Beale.
He was Peter Beale.
Is that who he was?
And then he went into the old X-Men and now he's hanging out with a woman in white.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's going to be the meat. Before we get to the meat of the situation, we like to start by talking about anything else we've been looking at in the world of, well, it can be anything. This is the section where we do talk about stuff that's not.
This is where we freestyle.
Sometimes, a little freestyling, sometimes films, blah, blah, blah. Steph always kicks us off. What, pray tell, have you been surveying with your eyes this week?
Well, maybe I've been surveying things with my ears.
Really?
Yeah, with my actual ears.
Or both.
Have you?
Yeah. Yes, I have. So, I started listening to a new podcast called The Soundtrack Show because I love films and I'm very interested in soundtracks. So, available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's brought to you by the people who Stuff You Should Know. Okay, so that whole podcast family. It's about, so the first two episodes are about Jaws soundtrack. Now,
it's classic.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Yeah, so it's presented by this guy who's also a kind of composer and knows about, we don't have to pay for that now because I talked over it. So,
I think you're allowed like 5 second humming.
I don't think anyone would recognize what we're doing either.
No.
So what is really good about, now, disclaimer, I actually found the guy slightly irritating.
Who is this guy?
I can't remember his name. Sorry.
No, she's blanked it out.
But what is really good about it is he cut into it is interviews, bits of interview with Steven Spielberg and John Williams. And that is really
great
interesting.
Access.
But what is also slightly annoying is he kind of like every so often talks over the interview. He goes, that's John saying this. However, it is incredibly interesting. Stick with it because those two episodes are very good and you do learn a lot.
What's it called again, the podcast?
The Soundtrack Show.
Okay.
It's a Google.
Okay. Other things that I have been listening to, another kind of for film fans, Alec Baldwin has done an interview on the career of Cameron Crowe. Now, if you Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron Crowe is incredible, almost famous.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Cameron Crowe, almost famous, obviously, partly about his life as a young journalist. So he was a young Rolling Stone journalist. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm not going to give you any of the bits in it because the whole thing is really, really good and Cameron Crowe is absolutely brilliant in it. So that's Alec Baldwin. Here's the thing.
Is that the show where he interviews actors?
policymakers.
Film stars, policymakers.
Policy. That is the show, Boyd, yeah. And I will not take you saying any nasty things about him anymore.
No, I love it. I listened to that very episode, let me just say.
Yeah, isn't it good?
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. Yeah. Yeah, I love Cameron Crowe, yeah.
On your recommendation, I listened to the Janice Min one as well, who's the, that's also worth a listen.
Yeah. They're good. Former
editor
a good run
of Us
recently.
Weekly, he has.
A good run, yeah.
Did you listen to the Michael Wolff one?
Of course.
Oh, that was Michael Wolff, who wrote Fire and Fury, that Kay reviewed for us, and you, obviously. Very
about
good.
Donald Trump.
Can I just say, interestingly, I just looked up the soundtrack show. Sorry to interrupt. Some people find it annoying when I interrupt.
No one does.
But just on the description, it doesn't say who the bloody host is on the description of the podcast.
I know. I was just looking.
That's annoying in itself.
Anyway, so carry on.
But it's worth listening. I don't know where it gets slightly annoying, but
there is another podcast about music and films called Soundtracking, which Edith Bowman does, my good friend Edith Bowman. And that's brilliant as well. I just want to say that. I want to make that clear.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Edith, we'll try yours as well. Thanks. Right. Did anybody... I feel like I know I say this all the time. Am I the only one who's still watching How to Get Away with Murder?
Yes, you are. Yes. And actually, you do say that every time.
That's right. Right. There was a crossover episode with Scandal.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, when I find time, I'm gonna go back and watch it.
Oh my god, so Annalise, it's so good. So Annalise takes a case to the Supreme Court with the aid of Olivia Pope from Scandal.
That is good. Yeah,
mind blowing.
That's exciting. Mm. And minds are being blown.
They butt heads throughout the episode.
Who wins?
There's headbutting.
Actual physical
headbutting. So good. It's just honestly, it's just brilliant. I only watched the first
season. Who comes out on top?
That would be a spoiler. Huh? I was testing her.
She passed. Well done.
I've also been watching a new thing on Netflix called Rapture. Have you heard about this?
No. I've heard of it, yeah.
What is it about, Steph?
It's brilliant. Okay, so Rapture is, so far I think there are 10 parts. Every episode is about a young rapper or just a rapper. So Nas has an episode.
But
the first episode is of this rapper who I'd never ever heard of, but apparently he's a phenomenon called Logic. All the young people will know about.
Come on.
I don't know the music, I've heard of Logic.
Yeah, but then me and rap are very, very
Yeah.
He's big on the grime scene, actually, boys.
Yeah. So interesting. He's had such an interesting life. So it's sort of an hour-long journey. And what's really interesting about Logic is he has helped loads of people. He had a real problem with anxiety, and he's helped loads of people overcome anxiety. And he was a real viral success. And he's massive, absolutely massive. I mean, I'm an idiot because I don't know anything about him.
No, I didn't know. But by the way, I just want to say, I was just saying that Boyd is big on the grime scene, not Logic.
No,
just
Boyd,
for clarification.
Yeah,
no.
I think the audience knew what you meant.
So I watched the Logic one and I watched the Nas one, and they're really good. It's very, very interesting. And these rappers talking incredibly candidly about their journeys. Definitely worth listening.
Logic, Nas, T.I.
Yeah.
Jeezy, Chainz, Rhapsody, Chainz. Just Blaze. These are the people featured in the series.
What about Kanye?
No, it's
more
because
authentic.
What Boyd means by authentic
less
is
mainstream.
What he means is people who have an interesting backstory. So obviously Kanye was actually quite a wealthy person in Chicago with his mum. His mum was Elektra. Whereas these people, like Logic, had a terrible time. His mum was awful. His dad was a drug addict. And like, so it's people a lot from the streets. So they talk what life was like in the projects and when you didn't have anywhere to sleep and stuff like
projects.
That. So the journey is arguably
just repeating words
more
again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
People on the streets.
On the streets.
Pots.
Yeah, pots and pots.
Pots and pots. Pots. Yeah.
But do you know what else I've been watching? Just for a little bit of light, and then I'm going to finish, okay?
Well, you know, if you carried on much longer, Kay would wrap you up, but we're allowed to go on.
Fully caught up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Oh. Now, if you've never watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine before.
I haven't, actually.
Andy Samberg. It's a comedy show based in a police station. It's got Terry Crews in it. Andy Samberg plays a detective. 4 series so far. It's just a nice, light 30 minutes of fun. It's really good.
I'm a big Samberg fan. Have you seen this film, Rockstar?
Yes, it's amazing.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's really, really
Andy
funny.
Samberg is an actual genius.
Where's that available?
Comedy genius.
Rockstar, it may well be on... It's definitely on iTunes.
You mean Popstar?
Is it Popstar? You're right.
Yeah, Popstar.
Well done. Good. Rockstar's something completely different.
Yeah.
Popstar.
Yeah.
Keep on popping.
Yeah.
Must be either on... It's definitely on iTunes. It's definitely on DVD. It might be on Mate. It might be on Netflix and or Amazon Prime.
It's where he plays like a Justin Bieber type character.
Yeah, it's really,
really
funny.
He is a comedy genius. And yeah, so just going to say, no dogs, no crime. I commend myself. Pat on back for me.
You're commending yourself?
Yep.
Well, it's a self-commend.
It's a self-commend.
Yep.
I mean, I would have...
I don't think you would have. It didn't, it didn't seem I would have hailed
you. You hadn't given you had, didn't allow if, him enough time.
You didn't
time.
Allow me the time. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Right. Thank you. I was about to hail your your newfound.
Well, we'll never know.
New
in
genres.
Fact, I've got a medal.
Oh.
Yeah. Kay, what about you? Are you going to dazzle us with some surprising and shocking new things that you've been doing?
No, I'm not. Oh. Well, one of them's not new. One of them's actually Boy talked about last week, but I've just got to endorse it myself.
Oh, it's a rare endorsement.
Ordeal by Innocence. So yes. I caught up on all of it. Steph, have you seen it?
No, don't tell me because it's
on
my list.
I won't tell you anything, no. Okay. But I'm just going to say, as a Agatha Christie fan, I think this is one of the best adaptations that's been on TV.
Now,
even better, I think, than Murder on the Orient Express.
Now, we must remember that you, as a huge Christie fan, right, Boyd has already said that the ending has been changed. Now, are you happy with it?
I'm happy with the ending. And I think the thing is, if this was a Poirot story, as a Poirot purist, I might be a bit might feel differently about it. If she started messing around with his character, I'd probably feel very strongly
Hands
about
off
it.
Poirot.
However, with this story, I hadn't. It's one of the few stories I haven't read.
Oh,
so I didn't actually
you
know.
You were attached
who,
to it.
I wasn't attached to it. I didn't know who had done it, and the way it's all worked out, I think, is fantastic. It's just so. It's so dark and twisted, and like she's made it quite contemporary as well, don't you think?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
So much swearing, and all the characters are just like really going
Jeffing
for it.
Jeffing.
Oh,
yeah.
Some
Big
stuff
time.
They say, Steph.
Oh,
yeah, you're gonna be blushing.
I'll have to close my ears.
Mm. It's really good, and I think particularly Matthew Good and Luke Treadaway. Mm. What do you think, Boyd?
Totally. Treadaway is great in it. Yeah, playing this kind of like
and
on
Matthew
the edge
Good
of
as well.
Sanity. Good is great. Good is very good. Sorry, can't resist it. She's a genius, Sarah Phelps, who adapts
Christmas
these things.
Phelps, we love
Christmas
her.
Phelps.
I want her to do more.
Yeah, someone had a really sweary go at her on Twitter and she kind of responded. She's brilliant the way she deals with people who have a go at her on Twitter as well. If you don't follow her, Sarah Phelps, she's endlessly amused. I think she's
what
Phelpsy.
What is her handle?
I think she's Phelpsy, yeah. And she is absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Well, even in answer to people saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't have changed the ending, she was like, she just swore at that, didn't she? She's like, doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, completely, yeah. She doesn't, exactly, yeah.
Potty she's fiery. Mouth. Anyway, the new thing I have been watching is The Resident.
Ooh.
What's
this? Universal Channel.
On the Universal Channel.
Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. Now, if you're in the mood and you're in the market for a new medical drama.
Ooh.
This is like a bit medical drama by numbers. It's not going to set the world alight. So I want to manage everyone's expectations.
Okay. So there's the world. It's not being set alight.
It's
by
not.
No.
I feel managed.
Yeah, I feel managed. I feel like I don't feel the world is going
to
be.
I don't want you to go crazy. I know what you're like.
Yeah,
you'll just be like, quick, this is the new ER or something.
It's
right?
not a Shonda.
It's not a Shonda. Mm, however, well. Having said that.
Oh, I'm in.
It's got Matt Zuccari. Is that how I said
his
name,
right? Yeah, it's Matt
Zuccari. I actually looked up how to say his name because it's such
an interesting spelling.
It's
C-Z-U-C-H-R-Y.
Where would I know Matt Zuccari from?
Well, you're about to find out.
The Good Wife.
Oh,
he
I
played
did watch it.
Carrie Argos, who was an incredible character.
His surname was Argos, as well as in like Argos, the shop where
yeah,
you can get
but,
anything.
I mean, he's American, so they don't
understand
with that.
Argos.
No.
Right.
It would be like equivalent of Carrie Walmart.
Oh, right. I see.
Anyway, he was a great character in that, quite fancied him. So obviously he's in this as the lead. He's a resident. He's a very good doctor, but he's a real rebel, right? So he doesn't give a shit about the rules. He'll do whatever it takes to save their lives. And he's a bit of a bad boy.
Tattoos. A bit like House.
No. Younger, you know, doesn't have a stick.
Right.
Nothing like him. and like, you know, he's got tats, drives a motorbike, all this kind of stuff.
Sexy.
And he has been put in charge of being a mentor of Manish Dayal, who plays Dr. Devon Pravish. And he's basically aims to break his spirit.
That's not nice.
I know. You'll think he's a nasty bastard when you first start watching. You'll be like, oh, God.
You know what it's like? Is because I saw a bit of it. It's like Scrubs, the drama. Remember Scrubs?
Yeah,
Scrubs
I
is all about
Scrubs.
The young, thrusting,
would-be,
wannabe doctors.
Donald Faison.
Yeah. Beaten and abused. And
who beat and abused?
By the mentor guy, that horrible guy who was in charge
what's
of
his name? Yeah. It's going to drive me mad. The gingery-haired guy with the curly hair. Oh, we're getting a write-down from John
Cox.
Dan. Cox, yeah.
Dr. Cox, yeah. Dr. He treated them all like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And this is like a kind of dramatic
but isn't it unusual to have someone like that who's younger? Like, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
then
yeah.
Obviously
so, yeah,
Cox was an older
Cox,
figure,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But it's also like the dark side of medicine and everything. So I'm definitely going to be hooked on it, but mainly because I fancy Matt.
Okay.
Yeah. Zuccari.
But get on board. Have a little watch of it. See what you think. Universal Tuesdays.
How long is it?
At 9 o'clock. It is an hour.
I think it's an American commercial show, so probably like 46 minutes.
I'm not saying it's not Boyd. Also, I'm not saying it isn't.
Just let you know, Emily Van Camp's in it as well. He was in Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily Van Camp from Revenge.
Yes.
Oh.
She's in it. And she plays his love interest.
Just to be clear, I like her. It's not going to set the world alight, though.
No, no pyromania. No, nothing's going to go on. No firelighting.
Anything else that you're going
to... That's all I wish to talk about.
Very, very succinct.
Yeah.
Some succinct recommendations. So a little wink there from Curtis to say, I've been succinct. Now you try
Come on,
be succinct,
take that baton on them,
overblown boys. Twat.
Have you caught up with... I mean, that's way harsh yourself. But I may endorse it if you answer incorrectly to this next question. Mm. Have you caught up on Super Vet with Dicko's dog?
I have to be brutally honest, no. Right. I haven't, no.
It's like you don't give a shit.
Do you know what it is? It's I recorded it on my Sky Q system. And when you crank up the Sky Q, it offers you, like, it thrusts stuff at you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it knows what you like. So anything new that arrives.
Sounds a bit tawdry.
It goes, watch, you can watch this now. You can watch this. So weirdly, anything you specifically record yourself sometimes gets lower down on the list. So I haven't got around to it.
Don't you
yet
just do a scroll down?
What you're saying.
I can scroll down. And
does
I will.
Does your remote control not scroll down?
I'm making this vow to you now.
So you're saying that you are taking the advice of a machine over the advice of yourself.
It's so insulting.
It's the beginning of the end, Boyd.
Yes, I am saying that. But I vow to you now, I will watch it by the end of this very weekend.
It's a pledge.
I want to catch up with Dicko, Lee Dixon.
Right.
Did I mention last week? Because obviously I can't remember what I say from 1 week to the next.
Senior moment alert.
I mean, my life is one long senior moment. You know that. I am senior.
Come on then, Grandad.
Oh my God, that could be your autobiography.
I am senior. One long senior moment. Yeah. Thanks. The assassination of Gianni Versace, did I mention it last week?
Yeah, you have talked about it, I think.
Okay, well, I'm going to mention it again.
We reviewed it.
I'm saying it again. No, I never reviewed it. That was about, like, 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm not getting engaged with it until it's finished on TV and I can watch all of them at one go.
The only slight flaw in that plan is that I'm not sure if the early episodes are going to be on the iPlayer. Maybe they'll keep them on.
Thanks,
maybe
you'll
be all right. But I've been keeping... We're nearing the end game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the finale is next Wednesday.
Right.
And I think it's the series of the year so far. I'm going
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
it started
goodness.
Out... Yeah, this is the
but
thing.
But you said save me with the series of the year so far last week.
That's
pick
the
one.
British. That's the British series of the year so far.
Good
this is the, this is the American. I think when it started... It felt like it's not going to be as juicy and as entertaining as the OJ series because that was so kind of exciting, wasn't it? Just to see one of the most famous court cases ever, and murders ever dramatized by these brilliant people. And this felt like this is darker, kind of slightly artier. I'm going to use that word.
Mm.
But now I'm in it. It's absolutely incredible. It's
Do you know
so
what?
Brilliant. I think it's deeper. I think it mines deeper depths.
This has
true.
Been on my Sky Plus, and now I'm going to actually watch
it. I think it has more to say about how people are driven psychopathic by what happens to them in their lives. Because it's got this reverse chronology, which I don't think... The other thing is, so we read the first episode, and it starts with him killing John Versace, Andrew Cunanan, killing John Versace. And then what happens first is it has a reverse chronology, so it keeps going backwards. So every episode goes further back in time. So you see incidents... He's a serial killer. He killed like 4 or 5 other people before he killed Versace.
Were they all gay?
Most of them, most if not all of them were gay, and you find out how he wheedled his way into their lives, how he got psychotically irritated and angry about them all these his victims, and then and it kind of works in a brilliant way because you kind of think, oh, why is he doing that? What's he doing? And the next episode, it deepens your understanding of him. So just more and more. By now we're in episode 7, 8, 9. There's like a couple more to go. You genuinely think it's like seeing the mind of a psychopath. Explained brilliantly in a very complicated, multi-layered way. It's incredible. And Darren Criss, as Andrew Cunanan, is incredible. It's definitely he's going to win all the awards, definitely.
Do you think?
Yeah.
And it's funny. Ricky Martin good?
Everyone else is great. Ricky Martin's good. But it's funny because it's called The Assassination of Gianni Versace, but it's absolutely 100% about Andrew Cunanan. It's about the killer. It's not about Versace. So almost like it's a slightly misleading title. And you still get like scenes with Versace and his sister, Donatello and all that. But it's all about the killer. All the meat is all about the killer.
All right.
Well, to get on it.
Is it 9 episodes?
9 episodes.
9 episodes. So you can start. What are you 6 in? 6 in on live TV?
I think we just had the 7th on live TV.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like 2.
So everyone, crank up the iPlayer.
Crank up the iPlayer. And kudos to my neighbour. Tom Robsmith, who wrote the whole bloody thing.
Oh, now
we established that you weren't that close with him and that you couldn't go around
and also, can we just say you're unbiased? You're not saying it because he's your neighbour, are you?
No, I wouldn't have even brought it up if I
What about the sugar thing? Could you knock on his door and say, can I borrow some sugar?
But he's in LA mostly now anyway, so I don't see him.
That
was
it. You don't see him
very
often.
Yeah, he
should give you a key to his apartment.
And the other thing I was quickly going
to... Not at all creepy.
Just so he could water his plants.
Oh, okay. He must have other plant waterers.
Well, I don't know.
It's the only explanation. The other thing I was going to quickly say is another podcast. The Two Shot Podcast is the, I think it's the foremost acting-based podcast. And it's Craig Parkinson... Of Line of Duty fame, mm-hmm. who is the dodgy one.
Who
Line
we met at the BAFTA, Steph, if you remember.
A lovely guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he started the Two Shot Podcast.
Is he the tall guy?
Yeah, yes. He is.
Oh, he was the tall guy.
Yeah. I knew the penny
oh,
end drops.
No, I really like
AKA
him.
AKA the tall guy, yeah.
No, he's so
Who's
sweet.
He married to?
Yeah, who is he married to?
Because she was at the BAFTAs.
She was at
well.
The BAFTAs, and he said, "I'm just going to go and get the wife because I'm because we were said, oh, we're really trying to get this person." He went, "Well, don't worry, because I married her, and I can't remember who it was."
I think he's married.
He's great.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah.
Do you know what? Kay and I walked along arm in arm with him.
Did you
at the BAFTA? Yeah,
in
he's
front of his
really
wife.
Nice.
He's very
no.
friendly.
Oh. No, no, but there was nothing wrong with no. Hold on, wait a minute.
This is make it clear.
Arm in arm,
it was very
in
platonic.
A very friendly way, we were walking him to the heat photo area.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no, he's great. He is such a lovely guy.
Yeah, and he's brilliant. And he's like this really scary character, obviously, in ruthless, like horrible, nasty.
Oh,
character.
Nasty bastard.
Nasty bastard, yeah. In Line of Duty, but he's an absolutely lovely guy in real life. Yes, he's married to Susan Lynch,
who
was in Save Me.
Lynchy.
The woman behind the bar in the pub, and saying, what a brilliant couple they are. There you go. Anyway, he's 6'4.5" tall, by the way.
Oh, he is tall.
I love tall men.
He is very tall.
Anyway, he started this podcast in which he, an actor, interviews other actors. And it's kind of like, and you think, oh, that's going to be very lovey. But it's like the anti-lovey acting podcast thing. So they will talk about why they want to become an actor. A lot of them are, so it's very diverse crowd. So they're like working class or people of colour. Or do you know what I mean? They're not just like posh white people all the time.
Yeah, he went to RADA.
So it's kind of like trying to show you the other side of acting, I think, for the listener. And it's a chance for actors to kind of vent, you know, and kind of... Anyway, the new, most recent episode is with a close personal friend, my friend Danny Lee Winter, who I've known for a few years, who was in... And the reason I know Danny is because he was in a two-part drama with David Walliams years ago, Capturing Mary, which was this big, prestigious drama that was on BBC Two, and he was brilliant in it. And that was one of his kind of first big roles. He does a lot of theatre now. Joe's Palace was the other one, and there was two of them together, Stephen Polyakov. And then he does a lot of theatre, and he's a fascinating guy. And he started Act for Change, which is this big campaign about campaigning for more diversity on TV and film and in theatre. And it's been an incredible thing that, you know, Lenny Henry's got. He's an incredible guy. And he is, he's just a force of nature. Like, he's brutally honest. Anyway, this podcast that he did, this episode, most episodes, like our own podcast, are, you know, maybe a bit over an hour. This one is 2.5 hours.
Oh, worth it?
Yeah, but it's incredible. 2.5 hours of a brilliant insight into Danny's life as a young, mixed race, gay guy growing up in a working class environment.
Right up my street.
Becoming, you know, an actor full of, you know, posh
and he must
white.
Open up in a different way than he would if he wasn't
like
an actor.
It's like a psychological insight. Yeah. It's like part psychoanalysis, part very entertaining, incredibly honest podcast. Honestly, it's brilliant. So there you go. 2.5 hours of my friend Danny Lee Winter on the Two Shot Podcast.
Right.
But
I'm going to listen to that.
What would, if this podcast was 2.5 hours? I mean, she'd kick off.
Hold on. Kate. Some people have called for it to be longer.
I know.
There have been calls.
Yeah. Maybe we should do like a special extra long podcast.
I've said that before. You
hours.
Said no.
Now then, that's the run through of what we've been watching.
Yeah.
Next on the agenda, I do believe, before we get to the meat, there's something else. What is the other thing that happens at this point? What is it? Is it Reviews News?
Reviews News!
Great build up, Boyd.
Finally on board with it.
I mean, it's only been 54 episodes, but I've finally remembered.
So, guys, as you know, regular listeners, we are trying to get 100 reviews by the end of our birth month, April, aka April for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And we've had an influx of reviews, mainly because for everyone listening who hasn't been aware of this, Boyd said, you, the listeners, the people on the ground, the pogs, just wouldn't review us.
Yeah, he did say that.
He scoffed at it, in fact.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Down with
you
Boyd.
Down with Boyd. And if you need John to put that audio in, I'm happy to do that. Anyway, so
I'll
you scoffed.
You're speaking on behalf of John, giving him more work for you.
He'll do it.
Big of you. That's very big of you.
I meant as in extending the episode by longer to include the audio.
Whatevs.
Anyway, Boyd said if we did get 100 reviews by the end of April, he would not only apologise, he would buy us a delicious cake.
Yum, yum.
You did say
Where
that.
May that cake be from?
Well, okay. Patisserie Valerie.
Do you know what? Just so you know, Boyd, we, Kay and I are also, at the end of April, going to do a special reviews news episode where we just read out all of the reviews, the 100 reviews.
That'll be thrilling.
Just every single
that'll
review.
That'll be thrilling, God, yeah. That'll be an award
and
winner.
And occasionally, okay, we're all going to be in it as well, and occasionally you can pass comment.
Yeah.
But that will be available, every single review.
And that'll be up for
as an additional one. So if you have reviewed, listen for that. We will be doing that show.
And then also what we can do is we'll review the cake.
Yeah. And we'll at the end of that episode, there'll be a cake review, and then there'll be a Boyd review. As in, we re-review you. I don't know whether you'll want to listen to that, Boyd. Anyway, Kay, pray tell, how have we done?
Okay, a little bit of a drum roll, I think, Steph. We have got 93 reviews.
What the hell?
Is it by my calculations? Are we creeping up like one a week now?
We've got three new ones, bastard.
Okay. Yeah. Boyd, you're going to be reviewed soon. You don't want to be acting up like this.
I've already been reviewed. It wasn't pleasant.
Oh, one bad review.
It wasn't even, it was a sarcastic review. Yeah, anyway,
let's not go there.
Let's focus on these ones. So, Helena Sedge. Great name, Helena.
Helena?
Yeah.
Oh, for lovely name. It's definitely not Helena.
I'm saying Helena because it's a bit like Helena Christian. Oh, Helena. She says, I've been an avid Heat reader for many years and love this podcast. Recommendations are usually spot on. Usually. Ooh. Yep. And especially from what we have been watching, she thinks she gets a lot of the stuff. A lot of people have said that. The beginning section, they like what we've been watching.
Mm. That's what I have, okay.
And she
Boyd, I'm not going to warn you again.
Sorry.
We're going to need silence from you in Reviews News from now on.
And she's also a VAD, a viewer against dystopia. Oh, totally with you, Stephen Kay.
VAD. You said it would never take off, and it has. Viewers against dystopia.
When you say you don't want to hear from me again, you've just chanted VAD for about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I want to hear from myself. That doesn't mean I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Right, next one, GRW Online. Headline, discovered through Pilot TV magazine.
Whoa.
Oh. You've got a bias. Look, now he's excited.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that. Pilot TV magazine out now at all good and evil news agents, and also online at pilottvmag.com. You can buy it online, free of charge, free delivery. Get it now, $4.99. It's a bargain.
Yeah. Let's be clear, it's not free of charge, the magazine. You have to pay.
Delivery free of
charge. You have to pay. It's £5 plus a pet. Minus a penny. That's how much it costs.
$4.99. Yeah.
No, I've official. Got a £5 minus a penny.
How about we focus on our podcast?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so this is just the
She's
entry
joking,
point.
Either.
She's not even joking.
No. This is the entry point. Love the first issue of Pilot TV magazine.
Thank
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
For many reasons.
Oh,
we don't need to go
over
to that.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
No, she actually just says for many reasons.
Oh, okay.
One of which was a signpost to this podcast. Not sure whether it is quite what Boyd went to journalism school for.
No. Everyone loves saying that to you. Mm.
But it's well worth a listen if you'd like to hear TV chat and shameless promotion of Patisserie Valerie. One review closer, ladies. Listen, I would say we'd be equal ops. We'd go to Tesco, Sainsbury's, M&S, but we want a Pat Val cake.
Mm. Pat Val is
I think
like
if I got a cake from Tesco, you'd turn your nose up at that, I think.
No way, we love a Tesco's cake.
Boyd, I don't want any change from £100 from you, thanks very much. Right, final review, and it's by The Real Unknown Wanderer. Great, ooh, great mysterious name.
That is.
Very good. Sounds like a new drama on
headline, great, great,
Amazon
great.
Prime.
Great, great, great.
Mm-hmm, three greats. I've been listening to this for a while now. Steph K and Boyd with part-time podcast expert John.
Ooh!
Oh my God.
John's got a little bit of a shout out there.
Everyone loves John. He's gone red in the face.
And as carry on.
Boy, has been warned.
We've guided her, or him or her, through their viewing and listening habits for the past 6 months. It's so enjoyable, funny, and heartwarming. Now, the only thing I don't like is
Boyd.
Boyd.
Yeah.
No, Boyd.
It's just Boyd. The only thing. Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh. She said, I don't like it that the shows they review are usually shown the next week and not this week. So you almost have to wait sometimes for 2 weeks.
She's got the same frustrations I have. Is it he or she? We don't know.
We don't know. It's The Real Unknown Wanderer.
Yeah, we did discuss that. I remember when we first started doing the podcast, and we thought it would be more exciting to review things that are.
But also
in the
beginning part of the shows, you said we do talk about stuff that's on now,
exactly,
so we're kind of covering that.
Yeah,
on. But we take we're going to think about
that's
this.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Mm. We will take this on board. And we're going to have a little powwow after this.
Yeah, we'll have a staff meeting.
But they said this is the only minor gripe to a 5-star cast. Hope you get to 100, guys. And then this is my favourite bit. He or she actually wrote reviews news. You should release this as a ringtone. Well, wow. You know what? We're going to go in the recording studio soon.
Directly after this. Boyd, you can do backing vocals.
I could do.
You can't be main, no. Unfortunately. No, lead, that's what, as they call them in the singing world.
Frankly, I'm happy
so
with that.
Just, we've just got 2 weeks now.
Boyd.
Seven more reviews.
We're going to do it.
I think we're going to do it. Boyd, how are you feeling about this?
I think it's possible, yeah. I mean,
it's possible.
This is the first time you've shown any kind of positive feeling towards reviews.
No, I'm fully on board, yeah, with the idea that it could happen.
That it could happen. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Well, that was reviews news. And I think it went very, very well. For those of you tuned out, you can now. Oh, sorry. No,
I'm joking.
We now come to the meat of the podcast. Westworld is back.
Excuse me.
She's got a hand in the air.
Oh, here we go. What is
it? Right. What would happen if somebody didn't watch it when they were told to watch it?
Have you got a note from your mum?
Just.
Have you got a note from your mum? Because that's the only way it would be acceptable.
If somebody didn't get the link in time.
Funny enough, I saw someone on Twitter a while ago talking about another podcast. Which, yeah, and they were complaining about how, if you have a review, I'm not joking,
Go on.
They did complain, so I'm preempting the complaints. Okay. I think our regular listeners, our people on the ground will cope
with
the fact
pogs.
That you have not seen. You have not had an opportunity.
Right.
You've not found time in your hectic schedule
to
watch one of our shows, Westworld.
Guys.
You're coming clean now.
She's been busy. She's been manically busy.
I was, at the beginning, on Monday, I entered my 38th year.
I don't think we need this.
That's
yeah,
old.
I mean, oh yeah,
right. Okay,
I think we should nutshell it.
It was your birthday, yeah.
Right? Nutshell. And then I've been very, very busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is why.
Going to talk us through a week.
I actually thought day by day she was going to go out by
guys. Then on Tuesday,
I saw is someone slagging off another culture review podcast saying, I mean, if you're going to have a podcast which is all about reviewing things, then at least fucking watch the thing.
This has never happened before. I just didn't get the link in time.
No, I'm just
saying, make one little point, right? If there's one person out of three who hasn't watched it, there's still two other people who have watched
we've
it.
Watched
so
it.
I think they just need to pipe down.
Kay and I have watched it. Anyway.
I'm going to ask questions because also I have to say, I don't want to be mean, but I did think it looked terrible. So I'm not that, because I don't like things about robots because I think it's stupid. But I'm sure you'll tell me if it was good.
This is a good place to start.
Yeah.
This is a classic.
This might have been a blessing.
This is a classic Seelanism.
It's robots, but they're people that are robots, right?
This so you don't like anything to do with robots?
Not really.
Blade Runner. Humans.
Yeah. Out.
What are the famous things with robots in? RoboCop.
Nah.
Total Recall.
You thought you'd trip her up, you haven't?
Yeah. No, I don't like it. I like Johnny Five is Alive.
Johnny Five is Alive.
What's that one called? What's that film called? Johnny Five. It's Short Circuit, because that had a
Short
girl
Circuit.
In it called Stephanie. Not that I'm an egomaniac.
Oh my God.
Well, just saying.
Oh, we'll let the listeners decide. Yeah. So you don't like robots. Well, the world of Westworld is indeed one, if in case you haven't had the time to, it's based on the 1970s film by Michael Crichton, who of course wrote Jurassic Park, the late great Michael Crichton.
Oh, so he's done some good stuff. Just saying.
And it was a really good film. I saw the original film.
Oh, it was a film?
It was a film, yeah. Oh. Starring Yul Brynner.
Oh.
Yeah, the great Yul Brynner.
King and I.
King and I.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And it was all about this amusement park, effectively, this elaborate, lavish amusement park where human beings could go to get the ultimate thrill of being able to do adventures and games, which were so real because they were fighting, gunslinging and having shootouts with things that looked so completely real, but they were robots, androids. So that was the premise of it.
Mm.
And of course, in the end, these robots, these androids,
take
rebelled.
Take over the world.
Yeah, and they ended up, you know, getting some kind of their artificial intelligence got to the point where they had some kind of consciousness of themselves. Which
get
is,
too
the
big for their boots.
The robots got too big for their boots. Thanks, Kate. And this Westworld came along, and this is the J.J. Abrams production company, and he got the rights to it, and they've turned into
Lost,
yes, indeed. Mm. They've turned into the reboot of Star Wars. He directed Star Trek. He's a big rebooter. And he's turned that film into this incredibly lavish, detailed update of this idea that, you know, humans can go at some point in the future into this vast, massive Westworld where they can fight cowboys and engage in all kinds of pleasure-seeking delights in brothels and that. Ooh. With these non-human things that look incredibly human. Unbelievably realistic.
Are you talking about having sex with robots?
Yeah, I am talking about having sex with robots.
It's sex bots all over again.
Yeah, I remember the sex bots, yeah. So... It was I would say second only to Game of Thrones in being in recent HBO history over here on Sky Atlantic, a very expensive, very detailed, fascinating kind of puzzle box of a series.
They really promote it.
Incredibly expensive.
If I see that woman going, I think there's really something wrong with this world. Yeah. One more time on my Sky. Oh.
Well, that's
is
Dolores.
This one that was $5 million per episode or something?
I think it's probably more than that. The moment we did The Alienist last week was $5 million an episode, which is on Netflix. I think this is maybe even more expensive than that. I don't know.
$5 million and $1.
Yeah, exactly. So this is season two. So series one ended, just a quick...
Yeah, recap it.
Slight quick recap. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen any of it, I mean, you know, then... There's a great show, actually, on Sky Atlantic / Now TV at the moment where they do a recap of the whole series. There's lots of talking heads like Jonathan Ross, Terry White of Pilot TV and Empire Magazine fame's on it. And they talk about... There's a great summary of what happened in the first season. So you could watch that if you don't want to spoil it. But all I'll say is season one ended with this big rebellion. So...
Robots.
The robots have taken over the world of Westworld.
Quick question.
Yes.
What is the robot to human ratio?
I haven't seen the official figures on the robot to human ratio, but I'll look into it for you.
Roughly equal?
It may well be roughly equal, yeah.
Second question.
Yeah.
In the first series, the humans that go to Westworld, do they go to Westworld?
Yes.
As in, like, this is a place we're going to go to, or is it what the world is now?
No, they go
it's
to
the
it.
World
it's
West.
A
world.
It's a destination. It's a destination of a vast amusement
last
park.
Last question.
It's a park.
Why do they go there?
For fun. For the ultimate. It's the ultimate. Think of it.
And then
so
they
the
live
idea
there.
Is, because the idea is you go there... You know, there are different ones. So there's the focus, obviously, is literally the Westworld, the Western-themed world.
How big is the theme
park? You go there, you're given a gun, you can kill people, whoever you want, because they're not actual people. That's the idea
of it. How do you know which ones aren't people? Because they all look so lifelike.
Because you're told and you're given... Well, the idea is that the people controlling the thing make sure you only go and kill the hosts, as they're called. So the androids are called hosts, the humans are humans.
Yeah.
You know which is which.
It's like going on safari.
And the androids can't... They can't kill you. It's impossible. Of course, that's what's gone wrong now. So
right.
At the end of season one... There was a rebellion led by this character, Dolores, played by Evan Rachel Wood, who kind of got woke enough, if you like to use that word, that she's realised that all of these hosts, these animals, are being abused by these humans, their whole existence, and now they've kind of realised this is happening, and she starts the rebellion. And the way that the key to how they got programmed suddenly to realise what's been happening to them, their nature, is because the guy who co-created the whole thing, who's played by Anthony Hopkins in series one, actually made sure they started realising what they were.
So it was all part of his master plan. Is he
the
with
boss
us?
Forward. Well, spoiler alert, she shot him in the head at the end of the last series.
That, I mean, you didn't need to go that far, but he's gone.
He's gone. So now,
can they feel pain?
Huh?
The robots?
Not a little bit, but not much. No, and they don't die. They just get reborn and recreated and rebooted.
Oh, so they never really die.
They never really die, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So then this series begins with her. She's started the revolution, and so we are now plunged in this ultra-dangerous, ultra-violent world where, the humans are suddenly slowly starting to realise that they can't carry on as they were.
Why don't they just leave the theme park?
Well, it's not that simple. It's huge. This bloody place is a massive, massive world.
Oh, God, it's like that annoying thing at the O2 when you can't find the exit.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah,
Once you get in,
no,
well,
it's not that easy. Because it's so big. That's what's happening. In the first
week,
they're trying to
retrace your steps and go back out the way you came in.
They can't find the breadcrumbs.
And the other, what makes it ultra interesting is that then the character Maeve, played by Tandy Newton of Line of Duty fame, who was madam in a brothel. She was a robot. She's also getting woke in herself, and she has memories of having a kid in some previous incarnation.
She's a robot.
No, but that's the thing. All of that, they're being given. Anthony Hopkins made sure that they can have these memories of past existences that they were given.
You telling me she had a half human, half robot
baby?
No,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying even in another story, we don't know. In another story, it may have been another version of herself. She had a baby and she's
trying
to...
Steph, this is well confusing.
It is getting confusing now.
Well, I feel like I'm understanding it a bit.
I feel like Kate wants
me
to wrap up.
No, I'm not at all. No, what I'm trying to say is, because I haven't watched the first series, so I watched this.
And you were like, what the hell?
I got someone to give me a rough overview.
Is it clear, if you watch the second series, who the humans are? Who the robots
I didn't
are.
find no It's not clear if you haven't watched the first
it's
series.
It's unclear, Boyd.
So you're watching, you're like, are they the robot? I mean, and then they talk about it, so eventually you figure it out. But it's not clear. It's not like they've got any, like,
no.
symbol on
fair,
them. Yeah.
To be fair, they want it to be. The whole tone of the show,
ambiguous,
right from the beginning,
is
disorientating. Mm. So it is supposed to be, like, you don't necessarily know who's who. And in fact, a lot of the first series was the reveal of certain characters that end up being not human, who you thought were human. And one great example of that, spoiler alert number two, is, of course, the great character played by Jeffrey Wright, Bernard Lowe, Bernard in American, who was one of the kind of almost co-creator, worked under Anthony Hopkins' character. Mm. He turned out to be not human himself. Mm. And now he is in a very confused state. So his kind of
rebellion... Did he know he wasn't human?
No, he was revealed to him towards the end of the series.
It was revealed to him that he didn't know. Oh my God. So, okay, you don't know whether these people are human. They don't know whether they're human.
Exactly.
Oh,
see what I mean?
It's more complicated. I think I've explained enough. Kay, who did not see season one and must have been in a state of utter bewilderment, what did you think?
I enjoyed it, but I don't want to say a lot about this because I don't think there's any.
She doesn't understand it.
Yeah, because I think people who've watched series one, I don't think they're going to be disappointed with series two. It's very exciting. It is great. It's slick, well made, everything, pacey. But for me, because I haven't seen series one, I got a certain level of it, but I know a lot went over my head. So that's all I'm going to say.
Quick
about
question.
It. But I did love Tandy Newton. I thought she was brilliant.
How do the robots, do they need to recharge at any point? Isn't that how they know they're robots?
I think they're long life batteries.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, what would they
there's
do? They can't
system.
Just keep going forever.
No, there's a whole system.
When they go to sleep, do they sleep in like a pod?
There's a whole system.
I don't think so.
I'm going to say it again. There's a whole system.
And where, a system, Boyd.
Of whereby the people who run this whole operation run the park.
Where do they live? The people who run the park.
You're gonna have to draw a map.
They live in there's a lot of scenes are like underground in the workings where you see the people in charge of the park, including
the back
in
office.
Series one, Hopkins and Bernard, played by Jeffrey Wright.
Bernard.
They're all making sure that the hosts, as they're called, the non-humans, are being revived and kept going. And so if they're shot or if they die, then they are brought into their area.
A little cart comes and takes
so
them away.
Underground,
right.
Underneath.
Right. Yep.
The Western world.
Okay.
Itself
back office. Got it.
Where, in the back right. office, if you like, where they're all being put together or revived or whatever. Yeah, you're right. They're all revived.
It's pretty epic, charge. This whole thing.
It is epic, is the word. Yeah.
There is one moment, though. There's a scalping.
Yes.
That is.
Of a robot or a human?
I'm not going to tell you because I want to give a spoiler. I'll tell you afterwards. But it's like. It is pretty grotesque.
It's very violent. It's very. I think because, you know.
When is a scalping not grotesque? Is a question.
Oh, I mean, it's inherently grotesque. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that is true.
But to see it, you don't. They could have cut. They could have. Well, clearly, a scalping's happening, and they could have cut. So
it's a scalping.
That's a scalping. But you see the aftermath of the scalping.
This the brain saying. Or not?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, no, they have the. Interestingly, without wanting to spoil anything, I'm not going to say it. Okay, wait.
Don't
so Kay's
it.
Kay's shaking
but
her
boy,
hand.
The most Take important thing is you did watch series one. You loved it.
That is the
did
most important thing.
Yeah. The whole point of this is, did you love the start of series two? How many of them did you watch?
All of them. Oh, you mean of this new series? Sorry.
Yeah. Again, how many of series two did you watch?
Four. I've watched four out of the
five. Wow. Okay.
Binge watched. And it is effing brilliant. Yeah, it's really good.
Do you think it's got better or do you think it's maintained it?
So for me, to try and without, because I've already gone on at length, trying to explain what the hell the show is with some
but
help
some
from...
people will want to know.
Steph, you're like, how do they sleep, etc.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
How do they brush their teeth?
Yeah.
Another question.
So series one was what you'd call like a puzzle box
What do you
story.
Mean by that?
So what I think that means is that you're plunged into a mysterious situation and you don't know what's going on. So it's like before you can even understand, you know the basic premise that there are humans and there are robots, but you don't know how the world began, who started it, some people, you know, it's all a mystery. And every step of the way in series one, there would be a twist, you know, almost like every other episode. And there was a one giant twist, for example, that was all one character who you saw roaming around the Westworld. And you thought, what's he doing that for? Called the Man in Black. Mm. And then he turned out to be the older version of another character. And you didn't realize until they revealed that these were two
multiple
separate timelines.
Versions.
Two separate timelines. And you didn't realize that. So
I don't think puzzle boxes are for me.
So a lot now, why I think series two is even better is, now that's all established, so that all the huge big twists are out of the way now.
Yeah.
We're now left with an incredibly interesting situation where these rebellious, led by women, led by Tandy Newton,
good.
Her character and Evan Rachel Wood's character, they're leading this rebellion of these essentially enslaved subhuman things that have been exploited by the humans for so long. And that's brilliant. It's kind of, it happened in Humans, the Channel 4 show. It happens in Blade Runner. It's an ongoing theme, but this has so much time and space to explore this idea. It's so interesting. And then they bring in episode 4, which is mind-blowing, there's a whole new thing that's happening, like an extra new element to the whole thing you don't realise that's been going on. And it's just brilliantly done. And I think it's another example of how TV drama now is the place you go to for deep dive, really meaty,
yeah,
things.
If you were going to say...
I ended that sentence with you, things.
I know, that to. Was... if you were, I didn't think it was going to end like that.
Really meaty... brilliant,
right?
If narratives.
You, okay.
Yes.
So, if the end of the sentence was, if you loved blah blah blah, you'll really love Westworld. What would that other show be? So, if you loved such and such, you will really love Westworld.
Well, it does share incredible amount of subject matter with humans. That Channel 4, okay. Which, by
if
the
you
way,
loved humans.
Series
you'll really
3.
Love Westworld.
I'm sure we'll be reviewing it in probably about 2 weeks' time.
Okay. Fine.
Blade Runner. I mean, Blade Runner. You know, it shares a lot of DNA with AI, artificial intelligence. The Steven Spielberg film, okay. Which I love, one of my favorite films. That I find the idea of, you know, how far does artificial intelligence get where they're almost human now? And but the I think Westworld's speciality area is the immorality. Right. Of humans being arrogant enough to think that they can do whatever the hell they like
they
to
want.
Something that isn't completely human. Do you know what I mean? I think that
Roger.
Is brilliantly done.
Okay. And what?
Five stars.
I'm going to give your explanation of Westworld so far.
Thank you.
4 stars.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because you didn't actually fully tell me if they did sleep or not. But, you know, 4 stars is still a recommendation for you to recommend things to me.
I think they kind of do sleep.
Don't try. I've made my rating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving it 4 stars for the actual show.
I'm interested that someone who didn't, it must have been in a state of utter bewilderment, because there was no catch up, was there, at the beginning?
No.
But I'm sure there will be when it arrives. I often say this. I don't think they include the catch up when you're given the new series to watch.
I think, you know, if you haven't seen it, you can still understand. I mean, you're not going to be utterly bewildered and not be able to
but
understand
do
anything.
But do, listeners, do seek out, if you've got Sky or Now TV, do find the Westworld catch-up guide program, one-off special, which is on at the moment. It will be there in your catch-up, and it is really,
you'll need
it's really
it.
Handy. If you haven't seen it, you could just watch that, and it sums up the greatness of the show. Anyway, I'm exhausted already. Season 2 of Westworld...
Tell me about it.
...arrives, as I said, simulcast in the early hours of the 23rd of April, next Sunday, 2 a.m., or you can wait for the big primetime showing the following night on Sky Atlantic / Now TV at 9 o'clock. Let's move on to a show we've all watched.
Oh, I feel like that was a dig.
That everyone can see on Her Majesty's BBC One, starting next Tuesday, the 24th of April, at 9 of the PM.
Mm-hmm.
And Kay, I'm turning to as our extra special expert on the show, because you, Kay, as I often say, I went to the launch and saw them holding forth, but I didn't.
This time it was me.
You went to the launch of this
I
show.
I went to the
split.
Better woman one.
Yeah. You went to this, the split, and what the hell is it all about?
Actually, funny you should say Best Woman, because this is a female-led drama, which is excellent to hear.
Teed you up for that.
Yep, you did. Nicely. It focuses on the Defoe family, and it's a family of lawyers led by the formidable mother Ruth, played by Deborah Finley. And it's more than just a legal drama. It's a domestic drama. It's all about their relationships. And there's 3 sisters. Hannah, who's played by Nicola Walker, also a divorce lawyer. Nina, played by Annabelle Scully, are we saying? Scully?
I think so.
I want to say Scholey.
Scholey.
But I always get them wrong. Scully,
and Scully. Then there's the younger sister, Rose, played by Fiona Button, who isn't a lawyer. She's like a nanny or au pair type character. And it's about their... they all belong to a family company, but Hannah actually leaves it and goes to a rival company where her ex-flame... the very handsome Christie works.
Oh, he is handsome.
God, he's nice. He's tall, ladies and gentlemen, and he is Scandinavian. He's played by Barry Atsma. And so it's all about the resentment that Ruth feels about Hannah leaving the company and that her sister Nina feels about it. But also the background to this is that their father left them 30 years previously. And Ruth, the mother, has become very bitter about it. And he actually turns up on the day of her 70th birthday and wants to kind of seek out a connection with the children again, and they're not really into it. And they also like cover the cases of Mira Sahel's in it, and she's like being her husband's nasty bastards just got her into the lawyers,
played by Stephen Tompkinson.
And as if, you know, she doesn't know why they're there, and he's like, yeah, I'm divorcing you. Yeah. Awful. Harsh. So there are cases that dealt with. And Stephen Mangan is Nicola's husband, who is great in this.
There's also the other case I have, is, which I thought was really funny and interesting, was a stand-up comedian has been using material about his wife and her mother in his actual. I thought it was a really good idea, because, of course, that is exactly
what
they do.
That does happen, yeah.
I see this as being like a kind of... It could be, clearly, this is a six-part first series. And clearly, they want it to be, I feel, Abby Morgan, who the creator of it, clearly is intending this to be a long-running show where there could be cases of the week each week, like these ones we're starting with, as you say, with Mira Sayal, et cetera. But and then ongoing, there's a bigger arc involving the family dynamic, which is interesting because the mothers won't let her get promoted and the dad arrives, as you say, played by Anthony Head of Buffy fame.
Yeah.
And so it's a cunning idea, isn't
it? It's multi-layered. Like, there's lots of things to be uncovered.
Right. You can see you can get the ongoing, I use the word soap opera, not in any derogatory way. I'm saying the ongoing details of their lives.
The family dynamics are very exciting.
Yeah. And then these cases, these legal cases, which will play out a bit like The Good Wife in a way, isn't it?
There's,
I mean, less... The Good Wife is the less most slick than The Good Wife. Slick thing ever. This is more British. This has definitely got a British sensibility,
Which British
is a slightly more considered, measured. But I thought it was very interesting. Steph?
I've said this before. I will watch anything with Nicola Walker in, because I think she's probably my favourite actress, TV actress. I think she is absolutely formidable on screen. I love... I think everything she does, she's in, she's brilliant in. And I just find her...
So like Last Tango, she was in.
Everything she's in is brilliant.
Unforgotten.
Unforgotten, which is one of my favourite series.
Yeah, back soon.
She was in that Sean Sean Bean thing.
Yeah, she was in the Sean Bean thing.
What was that?
She's sensational.
She's brilliant. Yeah, I saw her on stage on Broadway.
I'd love to see her on stage. Yeah, I just, I can't
she
get enough of this
very well
woman.
Across Stephen Mangan as her husband.
Yes.
And she can play any role as well. She can play any role. Anyway, so I will just say I do have bias because I love Nicola Walker as an actress.
Very pro-Walker.
However, I thought this was really original as an idea.
Yeah.
And perfectly done. There was only one thing that's slight, and this is such a... This is going to sound ridiculous. You're going to say this is a stupid
Steph
thing.
Special?
I think you're going to think it is, but I did find it annoying.
Did you find annoying? No, come on, what did you find annoying? Was there were footballers with their shirts off or dogs?
Every
or
time
dystopian
something happened that was of a certain significance, the soundtrack went dun dun dun. Really? Yeah. It was so
literally
annoying.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun.
Are you
dun,
sure?
No.
Yeah. Listen.
Are you
watch
sure
it
that
again.
Soundtrack wasn't dun, happening dun, in your dun. Head?
Was Liam B. George
it
doing
it? It was
that?
Really, really annoying. It was so annoying. No, it wasn't even him. And he's really annoying.
Yeah.
It was dun, 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 dun.
Neither Kane nor I noticed, by the
dun,
way.
Dun, dun. It was really annoying.
Wow.
And that is the only thing
that annoyed
me. That's
the only thing then, because
it was absolutely... I think there's so much, as you've said, Boyd, there's so much scope for this drama, because the relationships between the sisters is really interesting. Obviously, Nicola Walker's character's got a secret. Obviously, she's got a lot of resentment from the family. The mother's obviously got a secret. We've got no idea why the dad left. The relationship between Nicola Walker and her husband, played by Stephen Mangan, is really interesting. Nina, there's a good plot twist at the end of this episode to do with the case and the younger sister. The youngest sister, she's about to get married. So there's just like a wealth of material to go forth with this. And I found it absolutely brilliant. I found it really interesting. I really cared about all the characters and I wanted to know all of their stories.
A wealth to go forth.
Yes,
indeed.
A wealth to go
I
forth.
I actually watched episode two as well.
Whoa. Did you?
Yeah.
Because
I couldn't help it. I was...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it doesn't disappoint. It's really good.
What kind of cases are coming in episode two? Or is it are the
ones
ongoing?
Divorced.
Are they still ongoing?
The one that's ongoing is the Mira Sayal one, which
is
a great, because that's a real bitter divorce. Yeah. So that's ongoing, and there's a fresh one, but I don't want to spoil it for you.
That's okay. You can give me an idea. I won't spoil it. No, okay. You're clearly not going to tell me.
Yep.
I really like it. I think Abby Morgan is brilliant, and she did The Hour. Did you watch The Hour? Which was this really interesting period thing about a newsroom. The kind
oh,
of,
no,
yeah,
I didn't.
In the 50s. And what I like about her is her programs don't fit any genre. That's so when you were saying it's more than just a legal drama, even more so than The Good Wife, because The Good Wife you could say is a legal drama with lots, so many things happening. But this is a mix of lots of different things, and it's not a crime drama, it's not a thriller.
You can't pigeonhole her.
Yeah, you can't pigeonhole it. And none of her stuff, really. That's what I love about her. I think she's great. Can easily be pigeonholed.
And also, isn't it refreshing to have a female-led ensemble
very
drama?
Very female-led, yeah. It's, of course, the production company is Sister Pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? There you go. Do you know what's brilliant about Nicola Walker as well? She plays everything with so much heart. So you really, like, even though her character can be tough and soft at the same time.
Yeah.
She's
amazing. I agree with you, yeah. It's a rare moment of agreement.
She's fabulous. Yeah.
I fully endorse your Walker obsession.
I am obsessed with her. I think she's amazing.
How many stars, Kay?
I'm giving it 4 stars. I was thinking 4.5. No, 4.
No, 4. You stuck with 4.
This is 5 stars for me. I really, really like it.
How many?
5.
5?
Yeah, no, I'm really, really down with this.
I might go 4.5. I'm going to go 4.5. The Split starts next Tuesday on BBC One at 9 p.m. Tuesday, the 24th of April. Preceding that, on Sunday, the 22nd of April, is another big BBC drama. This time, it's The Woman in White. And this is a 5-part adaptation, Kay, mm-hmm. of the novel, a very famous novel, as I alluded to in my introduction, which is many people consider to be the first kind of psychological mystery thriller novel ever. And I was going to turn to Steph to explain what the hell was going on. Is that fair? Are you prepared for this?
No, you was going to turn.
I was going to, and I am.
And I am. Oh, absolutely.
Are you willing? Sometimes you look, give me that look. When I turn to you and say, can you explain this? And you leave me looking, I'd rather have my eye sockets pulled out than actually explain what
this
thing
is. Oh, no, that's my sexy look. Oh, you've obviously confused
me. Totally
that.
Misread
things
it.
Have got really inappropriate.
Totally misread the
okay.
It's this look I'm giving it to you now.
Steph, tell us, what the hell is The Woman in White?
The Woman in White. Who is The Woman in White, indeed, is the big question.
Who's she?
So, who's she, indeed? Right, so Ben Hardy, as we've already explained, has done very well, and he's now playing the character of Walter Hartwright, who is a young drawing master, who has received a letter from a very wealthy family, pair of sisters, half-sisters, never you mind.
Never you mind.
And they would like to be taught how to draw, and it's their uncle who's got some paintings that he wants done up, and in the meantime he also wants him to teach these two nieces of his.
Uncle played by Charles Dance.
Sorry, Charles Dance.
Charles Dance of Game of Thrones fame.
I used to live near Charles Dance and I used to see him in the pub all the time, and it was a real thrill.
That is a thrill.
Yeah,
it's a great man.
It was a thrill.
Crack on.
Right, will do. Right. Anyway, before he gets the chance to even get near these sisters, he's walking through Hampstead Heath. And he's tapped on the shoulder. Yeah, as you do. He's walking through Hampstead Heath and he's tapped on the shoulder by no less than the woman in white. Okay? Doesn't know who she was, but she seems very spooked. And she's kind of like, oh, you're not going to hurt me, are you? Oh, she gets all scared. Walks with her a little way.
Yeah. Well, it's like a recreation of the first episode.
Listen.
You thought my explanation of Westworld was long.
You just pay attention, young lady.
I'm listening. It's just the way you went into the voices.
Yeah. I'll do whatever it takes to project this to you. Anyway, this woman flees because she gets a bit spooked, and then but he can't stop thinking about this woman in white, mostly because she was very ghostly and she was wearing all white. Gets to the sisters' house. The sisters who, as I said, half sisters. One of the sisters very wealthy because her dad was very wealthy. The other sister not so wealthy, but they're very close and they look after each other. He can't stop thinking about this woman. He explains it to one of the sisters who thinks she may know who this woman is. And I think I'm going to have to stop it there because I think any more would be giving it away.
Thank you for that.
You are so welcome. Would you like me to do the impression again?
No. Okay. That's good. My takeaway from this program was the hair. Because Ben Hardy himself, of EastEnders and X-Men, whatever it was, fame, has the most extraordinary kind of like rococo elaborate blonde.
He does have a lot of hair.
Right? A lot of like twirly.
Yeah.
Then he meets Sir Frederick Fairley, played by Charles
More
Dance.
Hair.
An unbelievably bouffant.
Every scene, wig, the hair is increasing.
It's a lot of male hair. Unusual. Yeah. Now, I know I'm lacking in the hair department, so maybe this is my own.
Some would say maybe you're obsessed with it.
But I've never seen such elaborate wig action.
Hold on. No. Do you remember when we gave a wig score for that show? What's that show about Louis? With the hair.
Yeah,
what is that? Versailles. Sorry.
Yes, good point.
Well, that was really big on the wigs.
Yeah, this is a rival to Versailles in the period wig department. And I have to say, I very much enjoyed the wigs. And I also very much enjoyed Dance Makes It for me. So the whole thing, I thought it was a bit... I thought it was a little bit slow to start with, to get going. And then when Ben Hardy arrives in the mansion with these sisters who are all kind of arty and, you know, they're kind of frolicking around and one of them falls for him and but it's Dance sitting there in this musty, fusty, dusty room being, I have to use the word, camp as Christmas.
Yeah.
Massively over the top, having the time of his life in this ludicrous wig, chewing the scenery, makes the whole thing.
Yeah. Camp and cantankerous.
Yes.
He was fantastic. He was my absolute highlight of this whole thing. I completely agree. I was like, when you were saying it, I was like, Churchill the dog nodding. I found it really quite slow and I wasn't particularly enthralled by it, but I think Charles Dance saved it for me. That's it.
I'm really interested. I really want to know who this woman is.
Do you?
I'm like, who is this woman in white?
And why is she wearing white?
Why is she wearing white?
Yeah. What's she doing? Is she their dead mother? Around.
All of this stuff. I was really interested in it. But I don't know the story at all. Do you know the story, Kay?
No.
I know the story at all.
As period dramas go, I don't know. I don't know if it's because we've been watching such fast-paced stuff. Like, I mean, I watched this after Westworld. So, I mean.
I don't know whether I mentioned it. I didn't get to watch Westworld. So maybe that's why I found this very interesting.
I've apologised. I've done an apologia for the listening in case they find that offensive. It is very much a BBC. If it has a BBC period drama feel to it, which is a thing, you know, it's like a genre, isn't it? With a certain pace and a certain. It looks great. But it doesn't surprise a bit. It is the dance that really wakes it up, that gives it, for me, a vibrancy. I want to know what happens next. Yeah, there's also an interesting, we should say, the interesting framing device.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yes, it is exciting.
It does frame it. So that it starts off, the whole thing is told in flashbacks. It starts off with this one of the women saying, you know, why is it that men keep doing this evil? I'm paraphrasing. Why is it that men keep doing these appalling evils to women? So it's framed in this quite interesting, kind of very obviously feminist way.
But also the first thing you see is the dead sister.
Yeah.
So that's not a spoiler. No. The first thing you see is one of the sisters, before you know it's the sisters, mourning, and then you see that one of the sisters has died.
Which was interesting, yeah. So it's an interesting. And so then you also setting up the mystery, yeah.
And then you also see Charles Dance's character being kind of interrogated as well at various points. I think you guys need to watch this again because I don't think
I liked it. No, I did like it. Don't get me wrong. I liked it. I would say, you know, it was a solid, classic bit of BBC period drama, given an extra twist of zest by the dance.
Yeah. It's a bit you know Howard's End?
Yes.
It felt the same kind of pace as Howard's End.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And Howard's End was great.
I mean, I'm nodding, but I didn't
BAFTA
watch it.
BAFTA nominated Howard's End. Oh. Didn't we review that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I hit up on the other thing. Scandal. Oh, no, I did watch the first episode. I didn't watch the rest of it.
She's saying that now. I did enjoy it. I will carry on watching, which is the key, isn't it? That's the key. And I thought Hardy was good.
Yep, Hardy was good. I don't think I'm going to watch anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I am. I'll tell you what happens if you want to know.
Maybe that could be a weekly slot.
Yeah.
Steph fills in.
Yeah, I will fill him. Don't you worry.
How many stars then, Kay?
I'll give it 3.5.
3.5.
Oh, that's ever so low.
Mm. What are you going for then?
I'm going for a 4.5. I really enjoyed it.
4.5. I'm going for a 4.
Yeah.
That is the woman in white.
White.
That was a mysterious pause there.
Who do you think she is? The woman in white.
Mm.
Do you think it's
Brenda
mother?
From down the road?
I think she's someone suffering from some kind of mental disturbance.
Do you know what I think? Who I think she is? I think she is the secret twin sister of the dead one.
Could be the secret twin sister.
That's
of
my
dead
feeling.
One. Okay.
She's definitely got. Good I like prediction. How you said she's got psychological issues. Like that could be a spoiler. She's still.
Well, I was trying not to spoil.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. You're
actually,
right,
you've read the book, so you know who she is.
I was stating the bloody obvious.
Okay.
The woman in white. Begins on BBC One Sunday, the 22nd of April, 9 p.m. Oh, can I just say, I do believe there's a slight weird scheduling thing with this because then the following week, it's going to be on Sunday and Monday for the following 2 weeks, which is quite unusual, isn't it?
That's another way to get people to watch it, BBC.
I think that's what's
happening. That's a bit like Ordeal by Innocence, how it was scheduled a bit.
Ordeal by Innocence is just weekly.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. Ordeal by Innocence. They should have just done that over the Easter. They should have done that over the Easter break.
Anyway,
we can't take that back.
Let's not get
that's
bogged
happened.
Down in this whole tedious scheduling discussion, which I apologise. I started.
You did.
And now, finally, it is that time.
Question time.
This week's question is inspired by Westworld, which, as I explained, was spun off / adapted / rebooted from a classic 70s film.
Roger.
From Michael Crichton. So my question to you is, what is the other best TV series that was inspired by, spun off, rebooted from a major motion picture?
I've got my hand
Stephanie
up.
Seelan.
You may remember a certain classic Alicia Silverstone film called Clueless.
And who can forget?
Who can forget that every single member of the cast except Alicia Silverstone, went on to star in the TV show of Clueless. I'm talking Donald Faison. I'm talking Stacey Dash. They were all in it, okay?
Right.
It was absolutely brilliant. It was the cut. It was like the brightest series ever in terms of all the clothes that they wore. And that went on, I think, for a good few seasons. I don't know how many, but that was very, it was really good.
But I did forget that, until you mentioned it just now. Literally, I'd forgotten there was a Clueless TV series.
That's what I'm here for, Boyd. Yeah, and I think...
What channel showed it here?
I think it was Channel 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was... Do you know what I think it was, actually? I think it was one of those T4 things.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah, yes, yes. Very good point.
What happened to
T4? They got rid of it.
Why?
Yeah.
More industry chat.
Why did they get rid of it? I think probably because they realised that they didn't need to... Okay, Kay's literally got her head in her hands.
No, I want to know. What happened to it?
No, I'm saying it now. She's literally... I mean, she's showing her displeasure that we're witching on about.
Do you not even want to know what happened to T4K?
No, I do, Boyd. Come on, don't tease us now. We've half started story. I
very quickly say, Channel 4 realised they didn't need to spend any money hiring presenters to do the links for the programmes that are on Sunday morning. They could just show Hollyoaks and a massive 2.5 hour show where they make recipes and stuff. That's what
Hollyoaks is like the death knell of the weekend. It's like your weekend is over when you hear that Hollyoaks tune.
Right. Kay, what is your favourite television show adapted, spun off, inspired by a major motion picture?
I've got to admit, I wasn't loving this question.
So have you turned it into your own question? As is
I this was why you're looking annoyed? You looked annoyed for the last 5 minutes.
I was going to, and then I thought, no, play by the rules. So with the help of John Dan, you Googled it for me. I'm choosing the Pink Panther.
So the
any reason why?
Just kind of like the theme tune. Da-dun.
Did you actually watch either the film with Pink Panther or the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The TV show was like animated.
Yeah.
Fine. Didn't have much, if anything, to do with the film. But I love the Pink Panther films, by the way. No. I'm backing you up. I absolutely love the Pink Panther films. The first Pink Panther film is a cast line classic with Peter Sellers as Clouseau.
Of course.
And then the second one, which was actually called A Shot in the Dark, didn't have Pink Panther, is even better.
Really?
Oh my God, honestly, Saw in the Dark is a brilliant film.
Are they silent films?
No, you doofus. He's French, isn't he? He's famously...
Inspector
Clouseau. Is it a Reed? Borderline racist version of the
oh,
French.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing with your Minky? It doesn't have...
Kato attacking him.
Yes.
But classic. Also racist.
But it doesn't have the actual Pink Panther in
the first film is about the stealing of a diamond called the Pink Panther, a jewel, a big, huge
but
big
does
diamond.
It have like the pink
they all have with an animated title sequence featuring Pink Panther, which was then spun off
but then
TV
they
series.
Have do they have the cartoon in the film, the actual
in the title sequence?
Yeah, but
that's
what
it.
What about
no,
in the film?
No, the films are films. The films are really proper good films. Blake Edwards did them all. They're brilliant. I loved them when I was a kid. This is brilliantly spun off into an even longer discussion.
So hold on a minute, guys.
And it's all case four is the irony. Kay, who would have wrapped this up about 10 minutes ago.
God, and I need to know this.
I would have chosen something else.
What about the cartoon, The Pink Panther? Is the little guy, in that...
The little guy, the panther?
The panther, yeah.
No, I'm talking about... It's a panther, isn't it?
Is there a little Inspector Clouseau in it, is there?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
But that's a cartoon, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's like just a cartoon spun off from the fact that each
film... It's having a breakdown.
The Pink Panther,
Yeah. But that was a completely different thing to the films, yeah.
It wasn't related to it at all?
Well, no, it was inspired by the opening...
That is so...
I'm going to have to draw a line.
Yeah. Boyd, what's your answer, my love?
My pick is, of course... Not only one of...
Oh, God. It is, isn't it?
Doctor Who.
Please let it not be Sherlock, because we did put a ban on your answer being Sherlock. Is it Sherlock?
Can I just say?
Oh, God, when I'm in it
the,
is.
Can I just say, Steph? Not only have you extended the thing even further between us, when I'm in the middle of a semi-pompous explanation of what my answer is, don't interrupt it and assume you know what it's going to be.
Just what is
once
it?
I said it was Sherlock.
I mean,
it's not Sherlock.
I've got to emphasise the irony of you two talking about interrupting each other.
Sherlock, we're not adapted from a film either, you obvious doofus.
Oh, John Dan, Boyd just called me an obvious doofus.
Which
I have to say, I don't think it's that obvious. So.
It's the equivalent of calling you a basic bitch. This is a new one. Yeah, obvious doofus.
No, bitch is a sexist term.
Obvious doofus.
That.
And also, excuse me, I'm a doofette. Thanks very much.
Obdoof. No, I'm not. I'm being non-sexist. Anyway, my actual choice...
Okay, go on.
John Dan is about to knock your block off. Yeah, he's taking the mic.
Oh my God, he's taking
the
mic.
For the first time ever, Steph, the mic has been removed. Because she will not stop interrupting. You've been sent on red card.
John
a straight
has
red.
Staged an intervention,
a straight
listeners.
Red card.
He's taken the microphone
quite
away
right.
from Steph.
Quite rightly.
And she doesn't know what to do with herself now.
My actual answer.
Yes, Boyd.
Is not only, I was about to say, one of the best films ever made, was turned into one of the best TV series ever made. What is it? MASH.
Oh, yes. I got my mic back.
The Robert Altman film of the late 60s, early 70s was brilliant. With Alan Alda, not with Alan Alda, sorry, with lots of other people, Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould. That was turned into a genius TV series with Alan Alda, and it went on for years and years and years, and the final episodes of MASH are among the most brilliant things ever made, and it was brilliant. And
can I give you a quick piece of trivia?
Neither Sherlock nor Doctor Who.
Quick piece of trivia about MASH. If you ever find yourself in New York, on the West Side, you need to go and see the ship, the Intrepid, which is actually a museum, because in that you can see the original MASH helicopters. In there.
Wow, that's a good.
That is a good bit of factoid, isn't it?
I don't know if it's quite a good factoid. And I don't know if Kay will kind of give you any points back for having extended the question.
I was sent off, and I understood that.
To
and
new
now
lengths.
I've got my mic back now.
Listen, the only numbers that I'm currently concerned with are the 7 outstanding reviews. So I'd like to wrap this up by just saying, Pogs out there, if you do have any time, if you haven't already reviewed us, if you do want Boy to Eat Humble Pie,
if you're a family of 7. And you'd like to just hit us in one go, that'd be fab, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We've had family reviews before and they worked out quite well.
Oh, we love that family.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
Is it over?
It's over.
It's definitely over. Pull the plug, John.
It's a goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.